But what a lot of courts do is they'll say, oh, well, you have a conflict, but it's really not tainting the proceeding. It's not hurting us. So I'm not going to disqualify you. Now, just stop and think about that for a second. You have a judge, most time you're going to be in federal court, saying you're unethical, but I'm not going to do anything about it here. Just, you know, that's not good. I mean, even if you avoid disqualification, having a federal judge saying that you're an issue, you're doing something that is unethical, is something to stop and think about. But you might not be disqualified. You just lose your license. So the big picture of legal ethics, and again, I'm going to probably present it to you in a slightly different way than you're used to. And in-house counsel will think of this as perhaps the inverse. But, you know, when you take on a client, it limits a law firm's ability to represent other clients. I mean, that's kind of what conflicts are. So, you know, generally, unless you get informed consent confirmed in writing, a lawyer in a firm can't represent a client in a matter that's adverse to a current client of the firm, even if it's unrelated. So you and I are working in the same firm. I represent ExxonMobil. You want to sue them? You can't. That gets real difficult, and the paper goes into some of the issues about what does it mean to be adverse. That's what this is about in prosecution, in opinions, and things like that. But you certainly can't sue them, even if what I am doing has nothing to do with your lawsuit against ExxonMobil. Nobody in our firm can be adverse to a current client of the firm. Again, that's the general rule. Once the representation is over, nobody can be adverse to a current client if it's substantially related to what we did for the former client. So I'll put it the other way. Once it's over, we can be adverse to a former client, but not if it's substantially related to what we did for the former client. So we'll talk about why it's better in that sense to have a former client than a current client. Now, current client's paying your bills, former clients aren't. But for conflicts purposes, it's better if it's clear that the representation is over. And we'll talk a little bit more about why that is so. This one we're not going to talk about much, but honestly, I think it comes up in prosecution a bit. And the idea behind this is the rule says that you cannot represent another client if your obligations, it doesn't say to anybody, but it does, to anybody materially limit your ability to represent that client. So, you know, simple way of thinking about it is, you know, here is what a reasonable lawyer would do, you know, without any, they don't have any obligations to anybody, including themselves. But because of your obligations to somebody else or even to yourself, you're only going to be, you know, work this hard or jump this high. And is that a material limitation? And that's there's a lot of complexity under that, but just to get that on the table as well. So those are kind of the three basic ethical rules that come into play when you take on a new client. You need to think, well, why we are representing them, can't be adverse to them, and we can't have that problem of material limitation. Once it's over, we can be adverse to them, but not if it's a related matter. So, you know, if you violate those rules, you can be disqualified. You know, the bar can come after you and seek to impose a discipline on you. Bad things can happen, but, you know, more likely, at least in my experience, these things are business issues. Either there's a client relations issue that comes up and it gets addressed that way, or, you know, other contexts. But, you know, think about it. And this is, again, for some of you who are younger, you may not appreciate that this is happening. So, you know, somebody comes in and says, hey, we want to hire you and give you, you know, a whole bunch of new business, bunch of trademarks to file, bunch of patent applications, bunch of, you know, huge litigation. Well, what if it's not clear that the opposing party is a former client, right? And we'll talk about that. So, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, man, if we file this, they might still be deemed a current client. And if we are suing them, then we're going to get disqualified. And it's not clear they're a former client. If they are, we're good, because this isn't related to what we did. And so what happens is that client may say, the client who wants to hire you, the prospective client, says, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to deal with some kind of motion to disqualify. Or the other side of this, you know, the client sees you do something and it believes it's disloyal and it takes the work, it takes future work somewhere else. In the prosecution side, I saw a, I was given a talk about conflicts in prosecution, and I was talking about this fact pattern. Firm had filed a response to an office action, and the woman who came up to me afterwards was from Microsoft. So office action says, client ExxonMobil, you're not entitled to these claims because of a Microsoft patent, the Microsoft 123 patent. The lawyer who's representing ExxonMobil while prosecuting responds to the office action and says, you know, I'm making this up, you know, the Microsoft 123 patent doesn't enable the claims we're pursuing. It doesn't disclose, you know, this element or that limitation, blah, blah, blah.